Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for every blessing that we receive from you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. We humbly come before you to ask you into this place today, that we would sense your presence, Father, that you would touch our hearts, that you would open our minds, that we would receive from the word that you have anointed today those things that we need to be encouraged, to be strengthened, Lord, to be healed in every way. Father, we call on you to fill this place with your presence. And we give you praise today, and we turn this time over to you that you may be glorified and you may be well pleased. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, I don't know about you, but if you turn on the news or anything, there are a lot of voices that are speaking to us and at us. And sometimes it's hard to decipher or determine which ones we should be listening to, which ones we should not be listening to. And I was just kind of praying about it. And, you know, it's like, God, help me to discern. Because there's so many voices out there. So many opinions, so many facts, so many statistics, so many this, so many of that. And as I was praying, I realized that probably one of the voices that we tend to listen to the least is that still small voice in our hearts. With all of the garbage in the news and the circumstances and everything that's going on, sometimes we can have a tendency to be overwhelmed, and we fail to listen to that still small voice. And so today, I'm going to start. It's doing it again, isn't it? Should I go just handheld? I'm just going to go handheld. All right, here we go. Better? All right. That's a brand new microphone, too. That's disappointing. I want to read a quote from Charles Stanley. I don't know if you're familiar with Charles Stanley. He's on the television, on the radio. I love him. I love his stuff. He's solid. He doesn't pull any punches. He teaches the Word of God in its entirety, and I appreciate that, because there are a lot of pastors out there who do not. But he said, God speaks to us for reasons that are purely his own. He loves us and desires to have a relationship with us. He desires to walk and talk with each and every one of us, just as he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. You see, when God created us, he created us with the intention that he would be walking and talking and having a relationship with his creation. And then we were separated. But that has never changed God's desire to have a relationship with us. And I came up with at least 3 or 8 ways that God spoke to his people in the Bible. And this is not an exhaustive list. It's just one that I came up with quickly. He has been known to speak audibly. It is rare, but sometimes he does speak audibly to his people. He will speak to you in dreams. He spoke to many people in the Old Testament in dreams. He speaks to us through his written word. He speaks to us through the prophets. He speaks to us through creation. He speaks to us through angels. He speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he continues to speak to us, or try to speak to us, through his Holy Spirit. If you are a believer and you have accepted the free gift of salvation by his grace, you have an inhabitant in your heart, and it is the Holy Spirit. And he is known as the counselor, or the advocate, or the helper. And he's there to help us, and he speaks on God's behalf as the third person of the Trinity. But sometimes we have a hard time hearing that voice. I've had people come up to me many times because I can carry on a dialogue with God in my mind. And there are many times that he has shared some things for me to do, and I'm not going to go into the multiple times, but those times it's like this. He asked me to intervene on behalf of one student. down in California when I was working with a day treatment program for severely emotionally disturbed teenagers. And he specifically told me to go and talk to this girl. And it's a long story. I'm not going to get into it, but it was by God's grace and divine intervention that I was obedient, for one. And number two, it was exactly what she had prayed for the night before. And she was going to take her own life. And she said, God, show me that you're real. Have somebody come up and talk to me tomorrow and make it be a man, because we weren't allowed to talk to her because she had been so abused by men in her life. And so I have had multiple times where I know that it was God's voice saying, do this or don't do that or whatever. And I want to pass on to you how I have come about being able to hear God's voice. And it's that still small voice that I'm going to talk about today. God speaks to you through other people. He speaks to you through his word. He speaks to you through the praise and the worship. He speaks to you through his creation. He speaks so in so many different ways, but I want to focus today on that still small voice, because when we get into difficult times and difficult circumstances in our lives, we tend to shout at God saying, what's going on? I don't understand. You need to intervene. And we don't stop to listen for his guidance. And so that's what I want to focus on today. First of all, in order to hear his voice, you must believe that God wants to speak to you. You have to believe that he wants this relationship with you. Because if you say God is too busy, he doesn't want to speak to his people, he doesn't speak to his people anymore, he used to, but he doesn't anymore, you will not hear his still small voice. You won't hear it. And he may beat you up alongside the head with a spiritual 2x4, and you're still too dense to get it. I've been whooped on many times by the Holy Spirit until I finally realized, oh, he's trying to get my attention. So it's that still small voice. You must believe that God wants to speak to you. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. You see, God doesn't usually answer casual inquirers. God doesn't answer those who are like, oh, I wonder if this is really true. Or, you know, it's like if you seek him with you all of your heart, he says, you will find me. He's not playing hide and seek. He's not playing a game. He's simply stating, if you want to, I am available. I am there. John 10:27, this is Jesus talking. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So there is a voice to be heard. There is a voice to be heard. And when Solomon built the temple, he built the foundation, he put up the walls, he brought in all the articles to use for the sacrifices. And then when all other things were done, they brought in the Ark of the Presence of the Lord. Everything had to be in order before the presence of the Lord actually came into that place. And just as the temple was prepared for the presence of God to show up, we must prepare our hearts to effectively hear the voice of the Lord. Why would it be any different now? In 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? We are his temple. And just as Solomon set up the temple to receive God's presence, sometimes we need to do a little bit of house cleaning. Sometimes we need to make sure that the place that we're inviting him into, that special place, is for him. And so I'm going to go over some things here. Actually, we're going to wait a little bit on that. But I've got a list of things that have helped me. Before we seek his presence and his voice, we need to prepare our hearts. Just as the temple was prepared for his presence, we need to do the same thing with our hearts. In 1 Kings 8:54, it says this: when Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out towards heaven. Sometimes it is proper and beneficial to approach God from a position of humility by kneeling down or bowing of the head. We've kind of gotten away. We do bow our heads when we pray, but when's the last time you got on your knees? When's the last time you entered into his presence with humility? You see, we live in a culture that says, you deserve it, you deserve it now. That's mine, I want it now. And sometimes our prayer life simply consists of going to God with our wants. And that's it. And that's okay. But if that is the bulk of your prayers, you're missing out on an incredible relationship. What if you went to your wife or your husband and the only time that you talk to them is when you wanted something? What kind of a marriage is that? It's not. So why do we think it's okay to do the same with God? Yet, it is exactly what we have a tendency to do. In order to hear that still, small voice, you need to separate yourself from all the distractions of daily life. You need to find a quiet time and a quiet place where it's just you, not the television, not the rest of the family, just you and him. And in order to do that, you're not going to find that time. You have to make that time because it's not just going to pop up. So separate yourselves from all the daily distractions. Here are a list of three things that I believe that the Bible is very clear on how we are to get to that point of being able to hear that still small voice. Number one, have a grateful heart. Have a grateful heart. In Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. You notice it's interesting that it says, first you enter the gates with thanksgiving, and then you can go into the courts with praise. You can't go into the courts without going through the gates first. It's impossible. So how do we enter? To begin to enter, we enter in with a thankful heart. The Lord's Prayer is very clear. And it's a model on how we should pray. And the disciples went to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because they had seen him go away and pray and then come back and do amazing things. If the Son of God had to take time or make time in his own life to steal away and commune with his Father, how much more do we have to? Because he was without sin. Now, I know there's a few of you out there without sin, but you should still pray too, especially for pride and lying. But it says, this is how you should pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it goes into, give us this day our daily bread. Give us these things. Forgive us our trespasses. But the first bulk of that prayer is, God, you're awesome. Thank you that you are my Father. Thank you that you are still seated in the heavenlies. He approached his own Father with a grateful heart. And if we are going to live out this Psalm 100, verse 4, entering your gates with thanksgiving, once you enter in with a grateful heart, then you can get to the praise part. But you can't skip the first part. You got to be thankful first, and then you have to praise him. I have seen people in the past that have gone through some very difficult times. And I'm thinking of one person in particular, and she entered into worship every Sunday, and then she had some really difficult things happen in her life. And when those things began to happen, she stopped praising. She stopped praising God. She was bitter. She was angry. And then she got through them and she started praising God again. That's not really praise. That's praising Him on your terms when everything is good. She did not have a grateful heart. And you know what? When we go through certain things, you are going to get angry with God. You are going to have problems with what you're going through. You're going to say, why? Why is this happening to me? Why are you doing this to me, God? And whenever I go through those difficult times, and we all go through them, I don't care who you are, you're going to go through those times. I become like David in the Old Testament. If you read through the Psalms, David was like, Lord, why do the wicked seem to prosper? Why do my enemies seem to, they sit at the table while I am hiding in a cave? Why do you send the rain on the wicked as well as the righteous? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? And he goes into a total complaint mode. And you know what? I go into those modes as well. But I call David the nevertheless guy. Because when he gets done spewing all of the stuff, at the end, he always comes back and says, nevertheless, you are still my God. And as much of a rascal as he was, God says, there's a man after my own heart. Was it a man after God's own heart because he was sinless and because he was perfect? Absolutely not. But he always knew who he was and who his God was. And he always understood that God is on the throne and I am not. And no matter what, I was talking with a woman at Northwest Specialty Hospital last week, and she's bubbly and outgoing and everything, and she leads a bunch of other women. She's head over them. And she goes, man, sometimes people are just hard to work with. And she goes, every morning I tell them, count your blessings. Count your blessings. No matter how difficult, no matter how bad things are, there are blessings that God has given us that we need to be thankful for. And she says, sometimes I do it to encourage and sometimes I do it to annoy. Because it's like, why do you always say that? Well, sometimes I do it just to annoy you. But I think that's a good way to live our lives. I saw a bumper sticker once, and it's probably one of my favorites. It says, I choose to be grateful. I choose to be grateful. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion that just wells up in you. It is a choice to be grateful. So we need to choose to have a grateful heart to begin to enter into God's presence. Number two, have a searchable heart. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, the psalmist not only asked God to reveal any offensive way in him, but he also said, lead me or show me how I should live my life. Test my heart. We need to ask God to search us. Because sometimes we've got stuff in our hearts that are offensive to Him and we're not even aware of it. So we need to have a searchable heart. Okay, God, this is open to you. Touch any part of it that you wish and let me know and lead me into the way of everlasting. Amen? Number three, have a repentant heart. Isaiah 59:1 says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." You see, when we're harboring sin in our hearts, God will not answer. He won't do it. According to this scripture, he says, is the arm of the Lord too short to save? No, it's not. But the reason he's not answering you is because you are harboring sin in your heart. That's when we need to be repentant. You see, David, after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he had her husband killed after he had gotten her pregnant, that's adultery and murder, is it not? And she had the baby. And God took the baby. And the reason God took the baby is because in the Bible it is a life for a life. And when David was praying to God and saying, "Don't take the baby," God says, "No, this is the consequence." And the baby ended up dying. And David went in and he washed himself up. Because usually you go and put on sackcloth and ashes on your head and you go into a period of mourning. David didn't do that. And David basically said, "My God is righteous. I serve a righteous God." See, David wasn't always perfect, but he was repentant. When he was confronted by the prophet that he had been sinning, the prophet said, "You're the one I'm talking about. You're the one guilty." So he told him the story about a man, and all he had was a little lamb, and this other guy, the big landlord, came, and he took the lamb. And it was the only thing the guy had. And David got angry and said, "Where is this man? He deserves to die." And Nathan the prophet says, "You're that man." And instead of defending himself, instead of lashing out and sending up the walls and attacking, he said, "You're right." And he asked God for forgiveness. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Not because he didn't screw up, but because when he did, he was repentant. He didn't try to sweep his stuff under the rug. He went before his God and said, "Please forgive me. Nevertheless, you are my God." Now that we have prepared our hearts, we can be still and begin to listen. It's so hard. It is so hard to be still. Let's look at Psalm 46:10. And in the NIV, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." But I like the NASB wording better. It says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." Cease striving means stop trying to do it on your own. Cease striving, the word is rapha, and it means to let go, to relax, to withdraw. We have a sign in our house that's been in our house ever since we had kids. And it says, "Simply chill." Because we like to get all worked up about whatever in this world. And whenever my teenage daughters, I think they only did it once or twice, kind of got in a little tizzy, as some teenage girls do, and I'm sure none of you have to struggle with that at all, we would just say, "Chill." Some houses, have you ever walked into some houses? There's no peace in there at all. And you just want to scream, "Chill." It's exhausting. God is saying, "Stop, let go, relax, withdraw." Cease striving and know. The word know is yada. It means to perceive and see, find out and discern. So it means let go, relax, withdraw, perceive and see, find out and discern. So when we seek God and in his relationship and a relationship with him, that's what we need to do. Relax, chill, perceive, and discern. Because if we seek him with all of our heart, he says, you will find me. If you ask for wisdom, I will give it to you. And I'll tell you what, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God will never lead you astray. Ever. Just some quick notes that that might be helpful. When you get into this point where you're just trying to seek him, you're going to find your mind wandering, because our minds do not naturally listen to something that we can't hear. So your mind is going to start wandering, and it's weird because you'll find yourself going down a trail, and then you go, how in the world did I get here? Back it up and try again. The thing is, you're going to have to practice this. This is not normal. It's not natural. It's not something that's taught much at all. Most people, when they want guidance from God, they'll go to the pastor or a song or whatever, which is okay. But ultimately, we need to hear his voice in everything. So when things get quiet and you finally settle down, sometimes you'll have verses pop into your head. Write them down. Just write them down. And sometimes if you have your Bible with you, go ahead and read it. If you do that, I want you to read at least a paragraph before and a paragraph after so that you understand the context in which that word that you were given is written. Because oftentimes people will take one verse and they'll take it out of context, and Lord knows what's going to happen then. But write it down. Even if it doesn't seem relevant to today, write it down, because I guarantee you something is going to happen in the near future that's going to reference that verse. So write it down. Let's see. People have asked me, what does God's voice sound like in your head? So when you guys think, do you hear any other voices besides your own in your head? When you're thinking, you hear your voice, correct? Do some people not think here? But when you think, when you're thinking on something, you hear your voice in your head. And when God speaks to you, it's going to sound exactly the same. And then you go, okay, how do I know if it's me? How do I know if it's the enemy? How do I know if it's God? God will never tell you anything that goes against his character. Ever. So if you're getting something like, oh, well, God told me to. There's a pastor that divorced his wife and married the music ministry leader because God told him to. Wrong. That was not God. Because God hates divorce, why would he tell you to do it? Now, there are some exceptions in the Old Testament with prophets, certain prophets, where God says, I want you to marry a prostitute, and then I want you to divorce her, and da-da-da-da-da. He was making a statement about what Israel was doing to him. So don't go to that one and go, oh, yeah, God told me to divorce this person and marry a prostitute. No, he's not. All right? Be still until you feel that God is done trying to speak to you. And then go back to the front and have a grateful heart. See, sometimes we tune out before God's even said what he wants to say. Stick around, linger a little longer, because it's going to be worth it. Amen? Put yourself in a place where you can hear a whisper. Seeking God while you're watching the Kardashians, probably not going to be very effective. Find that place that is quiet and put yourself in there. When we think we hear our own voice in our mind, that is exactly what God's voice sounds like. It will not sound any different than yours. Always test what you hear. God will not say something that goes against his word or his character. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. You will be tested, and you will fail. But we can learn through these failures. It is not an easy thing to do. But I'll tell you what, when you've put in the time, you're actually putting in a time with your Heavenly Father, and you are increasing your relationship with him. Your relationship is growing deeper and deeper and deeper. The more time that Belinda and I spent together, our relationship changed and it grew stronger. You can't stay on a surface level and have a good marriage. It's impossible. You cannot stay on a surface level with God and hear his voice. You have to grow in that relationship with him. And that takes time and it takes effort. But I believe that that's all of the time that I have put in. It allows me to hear his voice clearer, even when I'm not seeking his voice, if that makes sense. There are certain things that have happened in my regular day life where I know I have heard the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And the first few times, I didn't recognize it. I thought, it's just that burrito I had for breakfast. No, the more I began to listen, the more he speaks. And the more I listen, and the more he speaks. Because we need to be able to hear his voice, especially in today's society. We need to be about our Father's business. And if you don't know the Father, you don't know his business. I believe God is calling his people into deeper relationships with him. Because there's way too many people out there who call themselves Christians who are, their faith is a quarter inch deep and a mile wide. And God is saying, It's not gonna hold up. Your faith is not gonna hold up. It will be destroyed. So if you want to get that deeper relationship with him, this is the only way to do it, is to press in, to begin to build that relationship so that you can hear that still small voice that wants so much to be a part of your life. So much. It will take practice. Don't give up. I could probably fill a book with all of the times that I have known that God has spoken to me, and the times that I was disobedient, and the times that I was obedient, and I could fill a library with the times that I had no idea that God was trying to speak to me. Because it takes time. But if you're going to survive, if your faith is going to survive, if the faith of your children and your grandchildren are going to survive, it's a good place to start with having moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas that know how to hear the voice of the Lord. Because I think it's becoming more and more rare. We hear the voice of our governors, our politicians, our media, Hollywood, sports stars. Just think how much information are we taking in on a daily basis? How many voices are we listening to on a daily basis, hour-wise, compared to how much we're listening to the Holy Spirit? I bet you it's a pretty small percentage. If you want to be able to hear that still small voice, you're going to need to put in the effort. You're going to need to put in the time. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than knowing that you've heard from God and then been obedient through it. There's no greater feeling. No greater feeling. So, start practicing, because I believe God is trying to speak to his people, trying to speak to his kids. And it doesn't do any good if we can't hear him or we don't know how to hear him. Amen. Please stand.
The Holy Spirit is real. I had a word from God when we were worshiping earlier, and we were singing this song, "Lord, have your way in me." And the Spirit says, "Are you really saying those words from your heart? Do you really mean you want me to have my way in you? Because I want to have my way in you. I want to do great things in your life. I want to do great things for you. I want to do great things in you. And even more importantly, God is saying, I want to do great things through you that will bless my church, that will bless my people. But you keep getting in the way. Move out of the way and let me work in you." Oh, I don't know who that's for this morning, but God wants to do great things in our lives. And you know what's so wonderful about this? I didn't tell Pastor Jim that I had a word. I didn't raise my hand. But the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is alive in you and me. And we just heard this morning about listening to the voice of God. So if you ever had a doubt, become a believer this morning that God speaks to his people. Because it's only by the divine word of God to him. You who come here often, you know it's not usual that the preacher calls someone else up to close, right? But there's a reason. God had a word for us this morning. And so it's important that we hear it, because I believe he wants to encourage somebody. Somebody's at a crossroads, and we're right at the edge, and he just wants us to take that next step and trust him and listen to him. And let him direct us and work in us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Your word is yea and amen. You said it, Lord, and we know it's true. We believe you for who you say you are. That what you've promised in your word, you are more than able to fulfill in our lives. But Lord, we come taking ourselves out of the driver's seat this morning and yielding that place to you. We yield our desires to your desires this morning. We yield our plans to your plans this morning. We yield our will to your will for us this morning. Because your will is perfect. Your ways are perfect. And Lord, we just pray that you will move in a mighty way in our midst this morning. Speak to those hearts, Lord, that are seeking you. Those ears that are attentive to you this morning, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Direct us in the path that you would have us to go. And do those things that you want to do in our lives, Lord. Beginning now. Beginning today. Let us walk in the knowledge that you are in charge. That you are in control. That victory is assured. No matter what the battle is. Because the enemy is already defeated. We pray for healing this morning where there's sickness in our midst. Those near and far to us, Lord, touch us. Heal us from the top of our heads to the sole of our feet. We pray for relationships, Lord, that are frayed and broken. Heal us. Heal us emotionally. Heal us spiritually. Lord, heal us financially where we're lacking, Father. And above all, let your perfect will be done in our lives. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continuously abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, Amen.